Instead, right now, I'm going to talk to Billy Lang, who's the head coach of the St. Joseph's Hawks. Coach, what's going on?
Dee, how are you?
I'm doing well. I didn't realize you were ready. Otherwise, I wouldn't have gone to Keith Pompey's tweets that were bothering me there.
It's all good. It's all good.
Let me ask you a question. When did you decide in your mind that now was the time that you wanted to pursue being a head coach again?
I don't think there was ever a time, D. You know, that's why, personally, I've always been in it. I've wanted to be a head coach. I want that responsibility. I've had it at different stages of my career, whether it was high school or college, and they've always been split up with some great learning under some great head coaches as an assistant. And, you know, I was on a great NBA path. And, you know, I get a call, are you interested in meeting with St. Joseph? And I'm like, yes, that's an epic opportunity and a place that I can see myself at. And here we are.
It is actually epic in the sense that you also don't have to uproot your family, which as a child of a coach, and I know what that's like.
You know the deal.
Yeah, that those kind of opportunities don't come your way all the time.
I'm already trying to talk her into moving closer so I can have a 10-minute commute, but this new Whole Foods that they put up on Route 3 and 252 is killing me. She's become accustomed to it.
That's hysterical. Let me ask you, because you mentioned and you have been a head coach before, do you feel like you are differently prepared doing it? Are you chomping at the bit to show that you have learned things that you didn't have in your wheelhouse when you were a head guy before?
I think it's less about showing and more like I'm not the same person. You know, I am in my core in terms of what I'm about, but I'm a different guy. I'm a changed guy. And the job's still the same. You know, being a head coach in 2019 tackles some different obstacles as the world has changed, but the severity of it and the responsibility of it is no different than it was when your dad was a head coach, truth be told. And, you know, when you have different experiences, when you're comfortable learning with your own mistakes, you know, when you sought feedback of people that you've worked for or coached with, players that I've coached, and then you get these incredible learning opportunities I've had under the last 8 years from two terrific men and coaches and leaders in Jay and Brett. I step into it. Honestly, this is the best version I can possibly be of myself. I don't know that any more time would have made me any more ready, if that makes sense to you.
No, that totally makes sense. I'm glad you bring up Jay and Brett, and I'm going to throw in the King, Herb McGee.
Oh, yeah. That was before, though. I was only talking about the last 8 years. Coach McGee's impact
I heard you. I know. You said the last eight. No, but I thought in your press conference when you were named the coach that you had such right on target specifics of being able to say what each guy brought to the table for you. Like, for instance, Jay runs a whole program. You know, I know you said that about him. Herb, you said, you know, it always was fun.
Right.
Brett, you had, I mean, and you know, I'm a huge fan of Brett, like the whole thing with Brett.
Right.
So let me ask you, what will you be like? What will somebody say of you? When they go on to be somewhere else?
You know, that's a good question. And I hope that, you know, they won't say things that are much different than they would have, you know, when I was at the Naval Academy. I hope they say, you know, he sews into people. He cares about people. He loves people. He's invested in their development. Like, he sees his job as a steward is not necessarily about him, but more about the people that have entrusted, whether it's their playing careers or their coaching careers. And then when they take that on to their places, they take the same thing. Like, it's not about me, you know, it's about all these people that have been entrusted to me. You know, from a basketball standpoint, you know, I'm a multiple of all these things that I have learned from Herb all the way through, you know, scouting, you know, over 500 games as an NBA assistant. You know, I was thinking today as I was driving around, you know, if Lamar and Jared are both back and both on the team, you know, like all those things I learned from watching Terry Stotts' Portland, like, you know, he had two smaller guards in the NBA. Like, it's just all these things come together. So I would hope that if someone was to leave me, they would say he cares about people. He genuinely wants people to be their best versions of themselves. He cares about culture. And he's resourceful basketball-wise. And if they leave with those three things, then hopefully I've done a great job.
Billy, one of the biggest differences between the NBA and college is recruiting.
Yes.
What, and obviously, you know, I have some ties to St. Joe's and that my dad played there and coached there. No, but I didn't. People assume I went to school there. I didn't go to school there. But do you think it is something that is an easy sell for you when you go out on the recruiting path?
Having been in the NBA?
Well, having been in the NBA, but like to try to tell somebody going to Hawk Hill is really going to be a cool experience. Like, what what can you sell to that recruit about Hawk Hill?
Absolutely. And you know, a lot of this goes back to the same question you asked me, you know, like, was I starting to wrap my head around being a head coach? And the answer is you're always wrapping your head around it. You're always trying to learn and you know, navigating and manipulating your philosophies to like shrink it, like as Brett would say, like be able to be concise. So when this opportunity came, I looked at it like this is an easy sell for recruiting. I'm not saying it's going to be easy, but it's not hard for me to speak passionately about the history and the tradition of St. Joe's basketball. And we've got great coaches, right? We've got great players. We play in a basketball city in a major conference, and we want people to be a part of that. That jersey tells a really cool story.
I agree.
A really cool story.
Yep.
I mean, the story of St. Joe's basketball is awesome. And then I think where the NBA has, it's helped me on a lot of levels, but this is what it really got to me. And it didn't take long. I would say it was probably within my first year and a half. I was reminded that people play basketball because they love it. They love it.
Yeah.
You know, when a guy or my sons, you know, when they go out on the driveway and they play, they're not practicing setting screens. I can promise you that, right?
They're
pretending. Yeah, they're pretending they're AI or James Harden,
sure.
Or, you know, like
absolutely.
Or Ben Simmons. And the NBA reminded me of that. So now as I come back, I'm reshaped into reminding myself that we must be even more aggressive in helping these guys pursue their dreams and passions, because once they forget that love for it, you've lost them. So, you know, if we combine this story of St. Joe's basketball with the amazing place that the university is, and then add to it just a full-on assault to help these guys be everything they can be in their mind and their body and their spirit and skill, I think we got the best of both worlds. And to combine that was why I thought the recruiting would be easy. I don't say the results are going to be easy, but it won't be hard for me to be excited about it.
All right, let me ask you a question. Because the way the Sixers structured things, for instance, you were development at one point.
Yep.
This past year, you had moved into being in charge of the defense.
Right.
Do you like that kind of structure, and will you incorporate that where your assistants are given those kind of responsibilities in a similar way?
So I think in my press conference, like I mentioned how, you know, my time in the NBA, you know, reshaped the way I saw basketball and leadership. So I think there are things that I will definitely take from Brett. When you can empower someone to be, you know, the CEO of their role, D,
sure.
It gives them a purpose for waking up every morning. There's a little more crossover in the college game because of the recruiting. And, you know, sometimes it might be better for the program that one of the assistants is in New Jersey for a game or in D.C. for a game than they are for that particular practice. So I don't know that it can be quite as laned as Brett would have had it, but it'll be way more that way than it will be what I would have thought I did before I was in the NBA.
The Sixers, just because you've been with them for 6 years.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, it's a long time.
All right, let me ask you, do you feel they are ready to pursue greatness and able, equipped to do damage in this postseason?
Health is the magnifier of
yep,
all.
Yep, that's
power,
what I
right?
said too. Yeah,
it is. Whether it's our own personal selves, right? When we're healthy, we feel great. We're able to do more. They need to be healthy, and you know, I was listening to Ala last night on the broadcast. I probably should have been watching the Final Four games, but I'm watching the Sixers. And I love Ala and Mark, and I get a chance to be a fan again. So,
yes, which is
and
fun.
And he made a great point. Like, these guys are older and they're men. So, like, the chemistry stuff that we love about college basketball is not totally necessary in the NBA, but here's what is necessary at any level. They need familiarity of playing with each other. So even if they're not best friends, hanging out on a campus dining hall, they need to know where each other is going to be.
On
and right
court,
now,
yeah.
That right now is probably the opponent that the Sixers are facing way more than whoever we end up playing in the playoffs. And I believe that if healthy, okay, and then they're going to need some, like, big impacts, whether it's TJ making pull-up jumpers or James Ennis just being a pain in the butt on defense or Boban protecting the ring. We're going to need something off the bench in each series, which will play itself out as time goes on.
Yeah, so, like, small nuances are going to matter.
Big time. Mike Scott's three-point shooting.
Yeah, there you go.
In my opinion, will be a big play for them in the playoffs.
All right, so you'll wear your coaching hat by day, and you'll be a fan by night when the postseason rolls around.
No, trust me, I'll still be coaching by night, but I can scream a little bit louder than I could when I was on the bench.
Billy, I wish you nothing but great success over there on Hawk Hill. And I thank
you. And you are always welcome.
I thank you for taking time on this Sunday to be part of the show.
The Hawk will never die.
Yeah. There's a lot of people that in my family that say that a lot. Thanks, Billy. Take care.
Thanks.
Coach Billy Lang joining us here on the
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.